Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're going through our series on the one another commands in the New Testament, the basis for Christian living. And today we'll look at instruct one another. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, I pray that you will open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears that we might understand the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at this idea of instructing one another. We find in Acts chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21 that the apostles were in jail and an angel releases them out of jail. And this is what the angel does and says. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. So what happened here? The apostles, they were in jail. They'd been arrested by the Sanhedrin. They'd been put in jail for sharing the testimony of the Word of God. And an angel let them out. Well, what was the angel's instruction? To go into the temple and teach the Word of God. The angel didn't tell them to go and build a big building or have a fundraising ceremony or anything like that. He said, go and teach these words of life. You see, the gospel is the word of life. It takes you from darkness to light, from being unsaved to being saved, from being dead in your trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ Jesus, and seated at the very right hand of Christ in heavenly realms and raised up together with him. You have a new life when you fully understand the gospel and believe in him and get born again. So this is a powerful message. The gospel is the message of salvation to all who believe. And it is the foolishness of the cross that outdoes the wisdom of this world. And we need to be able to instruct people in the gospel, to teach them the words of life that take them from darkness to light. And don't get messed up with all these side distractions. Lots of things that we can talk about as Christians. We can get into politics. We can get into the end times. We can get into all kinds of things. But the most fundamental, the most necessary thing that we are to teach our brothers and sisters in Christ in the words of life, the words of the gospel, to make sure that they are saved, to make sure that all our family members have heard the gospel and they understand it clearly so they can understand Christ and all that he has done for them on the cross, in the resurrection, the ascension, and that he is coming soon to save this wicked world from its sins and to give justice on the earth. So you and I need to be able to share this word, to instruct people in the gospel, that we may be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. And we find throughout the book of Acts and throughout the gospels, a lot of teaching going on. Jesus was teaching people. The apostles were teaching people. They'd go and they'd stand in the Areopagus in Athens and they would teach people. Teaching, teaching, teaching over again. Yes, there were healing miracles. Yes, there was many other things happened, but they would heal someone like the lame man and they would heal them and then they would use that to teach people. They would speak in tongues and people would gather around and they would say, look, this is what the prophet Joel said. And they would instruct them and they would lead them to Christ and the gospel. So teaching is right at the center of Christianity, teaching people the words of life that will change them forever and suit them for heavenly realms. Let's have a look at the purpose of Bible teaching in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And so open your Bibles, notebooks, and pens, because in Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So we go to Philippians and Colossians and my little Bible here. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So what's happening here? What's the purpose of teaching? To present everyone, male and female, this is an older edition Bible, we present every single person perfect in Christ Jesus because that's our instruction. We instruct people in holiness, in love, and who Jesus is, and all the requirements of Christianity, and we instruct them so that they may be perfect on the day of judgment. They may stand before God, holy, blameless, and unafraid before the throne as Jesus hands them their rewards because they were instructed in the truth of God. So we want to present everyone perfect in Christ. We're not teaching people so we can build a great big church. I'm not teaching you so that you can send me money because it's free. The Voice of Hope is free. You can just listen in and tune in any time to these programs, and they will instruct you in the words of life. So we're getting this gospel out over these airways so that you might grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to the book of Romans and chapter 15 and verse 14. And I think it just says something very simple here. It says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to admonish one another and instruct one another." So here Paul's telling the Romans, the average Roman Christian, that once they'd come to a certain level of maturity in Christ, that they themselves were able to instruct one another. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, it says much the same thing. Let's see if I can land there very quickly. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore comfort one another and edify one another, instruct one another, just as you are doing." So Paul's not saying, "Oh, let the preachers do all the preaching." He says, "One another, instruct one another, edify one another, and teach one another the words of God." That's what we're to do. So fathers can teach children, brothers can teach brothers, sisters can teach sisters, so on and so forth. We're there to instruct one another, get together in Bible study groups, groups of two or three. And a lot of my Christian life has been blessed by having some friends who I can sit down and talk about the Word of God with, not necessarily my Bible college lecturers who I sat under. They were a great blessing to me. My pastors over my early years of my Christian life were a great blessing to me. So we do need to listen to official teachers, Bible teachers, theologians, and pastors. But we also need to have friends that we can walk through the journey of life with, and they will instruct us, often in a personal thing. They'll say, "Why did you lose your temper?" Or, "Why did you do this?" Or, "You need to be more forgiving," or this or that or the other. And God will bless us as we get into fellowship with one another. So don't be all on your own as a Christian. Hang out with people that you can talk about the Bible with and share the scriptures with and enjoy fellowship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important to instruct one another, and God's equipped you to do that. And some very puzzling verses in 1 John, not John the Gospel, 1 John, the epistle. 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. In verse 20 it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And in verse 27 it says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." So we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips us to learn from God. The Holy Spirit teaches our spirit the things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 to 16. And in that passage, it says that the natural man cannot understand the things of God. And that's in verse 13, the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, 13. The natural man cannot understand the things of God at all, but the spiritual person judges all things. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us things that eye has not seen, ear heard, nor entered into the minds of man, but these things are revealed to us through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit reveals to our spirit the things of God. The Holy Spirit searches out the things of God, for he alone knows the mind of God, reveals the mind of God to us, that we might do the will of God. So the Holy Spirit prepares us to instruct one another in the righteous, good, and perfect things of God. So you are going to be equipped to share the things of God, but foundational is your knowledge of the Scripture. You need to memorize Bible verses. You need to get into the Bible deeply with a concordance, a new Bible dictionary, things like that that you can find to equip you with the Word of God. And so I have found some Bible programs, like I use eSword a lot, which is a free Bible program you can get on the internet, and many others, or YouVersion, which you can get on your phone. It's an app called YouVersion, and you can get that on your phone, and you can study the Word of God, and it has many little resources that you can use to eventually become a good Bible teacher. Okay, so in Ephesians 5:19, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, and then it says instructing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, edifying one another, building one another up in the Lord. So teaching other people, instructing other people, flows out of the Spirit-filled life. Because as I've said many times before, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're overflowing with the Spirit of the Lord, then you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You'll receive the wisdom of God that God downloads into you, and you can instruct men and women in the Word of God, helping them to understand the magnificent words of life. And mutual edification is something that we want to do. In 1 Corinthians 14, 3, it says, let everything be done for edification, for building up the body of Jesus Christ. We are to edify one another in the Lord. We're to instruct, strengthen, and build one another up with our words, not to tear them down, not to confuse them. Paul said he'd rather say one word that's understood than 10,000 words in a tongue in a public gathering. Of course, in his own prayer life, he can pray as much as he likes in tongues. But in a public gathering, he wants to speak clearly. The trumpet needs to make a clear sound so we can edify one another. And Timothy, we know that Timothy was told to teach the word in season and out of season, to instruct people, to have great endurance in the way he is instructing the children of God, the men and women of God there in Ephesus. He was the senior pastor, and he had to raise people up. So one of the ways he did that is in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, teach other people who can teach others also. Teach faithful men and women who can teach others also. So when you instruct people, think, can this be passed along? Can this be transmitted to someone else? Is it going to be clear? Have I given a person a clear understanding of the gospel? And is that person going to be a faithful person, a faithful messenger who's going to put it on truly, who's not going to twist it in any way, shape, or form? And then you teach people who can teach other people, which is part of the mission here at Insights for Eternity. We want to teach you so you can teach others the deep things of God. So we want to have peer-to-peer instruction. We want to have elders teaching people. And we have, in some cases, it says, let the older women instruct the younger women. Let them be examples to them of purity and faith. So even the older women are to instruct the younger women, and everyone is to instruct everyone else. No one gets out of the role of teaching. If you're a brother or sister in Christ, don't say, well, I'm just a baby Christian, and stay a baby Christian. God doesn't want you to remain a baby Christian forever and ever. God wants you to be strong in the Word. God wants you to have the Word of God burning in your heart like a fire, like a hammer that breaks a rock. God wants you to give you words that no man or woman can contradict, words that will stand up so that you can glorify God and help people to understand the words of eternal life that they need to do. So then we ask the question, well, what about pastors? Are they out of a job? Not at all. Pastors, theologians, and Bible teachers like myself, we're here to teach the deep and difficult things of the Word of God. There are some things like the Trinity or the end times, things about the two natures of Christ, things that have to be taught very exactly. And my job is to teach you the things that need to be taught very exactly. And your friends can teach you things that are very straightforward. So you have to teach at your level of knowledge the things that you know with great accuracy, great truth, and that you can strengthen people's hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God will give you an area where you can teach. You might be someone who instructs grade 3. You might instruct teenagers. You might instruct young university students or young professionals. God will give you people that you can share your message with, people that you can build up in the Lord. And you have to be disciplined in this. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are to rightly divide the word of truth to people with accuracy and with diligence. Some people are sloppy. God does not want you to be sloppy and inaccurate in the way that you teach the word of God. You are to apply yourself to your teaching. Even if it is teaching grade 3, apply yourself to make sure those grade 3 kids come all the way through to Jesus Christ and give their lives and hearts and souls to Him. So whatever you're doing, wherever you're instructing, whether you're instructing men or women or children, whether you're instructing in a Bible college or you're teaching postgraduate people, wherever you're teaching, you are to teach accurately and deeply the words of God so that those who hear are built up, edified, and instructed in the things of God, and they are not thrown this way and that. Paul talks about people being tossed every which way by every wind of doctrine. And we get some incredibly crazy doctrines coming through here in America, and I'm sure wherever you are, whether you're in Kenya or Guatemala, wherever you're listening to this broadcast from, you will probably find some very strange doctrines being preached these days. And the reason that they're being preached is there are people out there who are naive and immature. They're easily swayed by every wind of doctrine. And your job, especially if you're a pastor, is to make sure that your congregation is well grounded in the basic truths of the Scripture. And you yourselves should not get brushed aside by prosperity theology or by trivial and shallow theology. There's a lot of pop psychology that's taken over the church, and it's encouraging, it's nice, and people like hearing it, but it's not the sort of thing that grounds people in Christ. You are there to instruct people in Christ and Him crucified. You must teach your congregation the fundamental things of God, that Christ died for their sins, that they need to love one another. Teach them the things of the Gospels. Go through, show them what it means to abide in Christ, to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd, to hear the voice of God. Go through and teach them verse by verse. That's the best way to teach the Bible, is to teach verse by verse through the Scriptures, or to back up a topic with lots and lots of Scriptures. It's not your authority, it's not your life story that people need to hear. People need to hear the Word of God accurately divided among them so that they can stand tall and straight. Normally, in most of the other series I've talked on Insights for Eternity, I've gone verse by verse through the Bible. That is an honest way to teach the Scriptures, because people can see that you're dealing with the Word of God and that you're not making up anything as you go. And the Bible is surprisingly diverse and interesting. So if you teach through a book, and recently we taught through the book of James, and we looked at some topics in Amos, and before that we looked at topics in Romans. So when you go through verse by verse and you look deeply into the Scriptures, marvelous things come out of the Word of God, and people will appreciate your teaching. People will bless you for teaching the things that they want to know. So I'm calling on all Christians to edify one another and instruct one another. And it might be just in a very, very simple thing. You might have a son who is raw and undisciplined, whose life is unwise in many ways. And you might say, son, I want you to read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day for 31 days, and I'll sit down and I'll read it with you. So together, a chapter a day, a few minutes a day, you go through the book of Proverbs. And he says, oh, I can see the wisdom in this, and I can see the wisdom in that. Let's talk about this, that, or the other, because Proverbs is made for instructing young men and young women in the appropriate things of God. And sit down with your children and discuss the Bible verse by verse, and they will find it surprisingly relevant, and they will enjoy your attention as you instruct your children in the things of the Bible, the things that they need to hear at that time. And don't pick the stuff that's really bizarre or difficult, like some of the minor prophets or Leviticus. Pick things that are made for their age, things that are made for their interest at the time, and ask the Lord, what shall I instruct my children in? And don't always instruct them in submit to your parents and things like that. They've heard enough of that. They want to hear the things that are going to transform them. Give them the basics of the gospel. Take them through the Gospel of John. It's a very, very deep gospel. But they'll love the stories about Nicodemus and the woman at the well. And they'll know that God loves them and has a plan for them, and that they must be born again, and that God is the very living water of life. So also, you can take them even to some good Christian books and Be very careful about what you give them, but books like Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan is a great book for instructing people in the basics of the Christian life and bringing them up in the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says we're to instruct one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That sounds very old-fashioned. That sounds very harsh and difficult to do. But the fear of the Lord simply means you respect God and you obey His commandments. You realize that you're dealing with God, capital G-O-D, God, and that you need to be good, you need to line up, you need to have a life that's orderly and not disorderly. And you're to fear God and you're to say, okay, I'm a Christian, God's real, I'm going to line up my life with the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to go astray. And you have this desire to live a life that's clean, that's holy, that's sensible, that's wise, a life that listens to the instructions of the Lord and gets the blessings thereof. Because it says in Psalm 1 that a person who pays attention to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a tree planted by the waters and which bears fruit in its leaves every season. So when you instruct your family in the Word of God, when you plant the fear of the Lord in their heart, because the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to turn from evil is understanding. You instruct your household and your friends in the fear of the Lord. They will become like trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. They will have their sap in their old age. They will be full of the goodness of the Lord because you have taught them. You have taught them deeply. You have taught them well. And you might say, but I have nothing to teach them. I'm not a teacher. I didn't complete college. I didn't do that. You teach what you know. Just be confident that God's given you things that you can instruct people in, and you teach what you know to the people of God and watch them get blessed. The simplest things can change the greatest of lives. Some person that's a professor of theology, a professor of some scientific discipline, say, and you share the gospel with them and they say, yeah, I needed that. Thank you. And that person believes because they just needed to hear the gospel. They didn't need to hear some fancy philosophical argument. They just needed to know what they needed to be saved. And so do not back down. God has given you wisdom. God has given you the Holy Spirit. And in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him freely and without reproach. So when you feel that you've got to instruct someone, talk to someone, say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you're going to give me wisdom right at this minute, right at this second, to instruct this person in the Word of God, and you will speak words of wisdom and knowledge that no man can contradict because it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you into their life to get them saved, to get them strengthened, and to get them into the knowledge of God. Now, one of the things that you can teach, and one simple thing to teach people, is the Romans Road. The Romans Road is a very simple gospel message, and it starts with Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And people say, yes, I've sinned. And then Romans 5:8, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And people say, okay, that's true. Christ has died for me while I was yet a sinner. Romans 6:23 says, tells people that the wages of, sorry, Romans 6:23 tells people that if you believe in Christ, you'll have eternal life. That's just temporarily gone out of my brain. Isn't that terrible? Romans 6:23. Let me look that up. I thought I'd know that straight off the bat. Okay, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then Romans 10, verses 9 and on. Let's look at that. That's the next thing along there. And, okay, verse 9 on, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, a confession is made to salvation. And so you read out those verses again, and they will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go through those verses. Now I've got my Bible open here. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that's the thing. Write that down, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that's the solution to the sin problem. Romans 6:23, the one I had a mental blank on. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 10:9-13, which is the pathway to salvation. If we believe in our heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, then we will be saved, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you can just teach them that set of Bible verses, and that is a basic thing that you can instruct people in the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:9, and right through to verse 13. So write them down in your pads now. 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:9-13. Memorize that, put it in your Bible, so that you can lead people to the Lord. And that is, you can instruct people in the words of life. God has raised you up not to make $1 million, but to do the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he will make you a millionaire. But the primary purpose of your life here is to see people saved and to instruct them in the Lord so that they can grow into holiness, truth, and life. May the Lord give you strength and courage to share the word of God, to instruct others in the word of God, and to see people become holy, to see people to become encouraged, to see people saved by the millions even. So to see people saved all over the world because you know how to teach the word of God simply and directly to all who want to hear. And that's God's calling on your life, to instruct one another in Christ, to build one another up. That's why you go to church. You go to church to hear the word of God and to share the word of God with other people as you have lunch together, as you have a Bible study together. You're there to be the encouragement that someone else needs, because there's going to be someone who's just like you, someone who's been through what you've been through. And when you tell your story, when you share your testimony, when you share what God's done in your life, they're going to say, wow, that's an interesting story. That's just like me. I think I'll believe in Jesus Christ. Don't think you're too small or too unimportant to instruct someone. Even a child can instruct people in the will and the word of God as long as that child is speaking from Scripture. So get a good grip on your Bible. Memorize your Bible verses. Remember those Romans road verses that I said to you earlier. And go forth and instruct one another in the word of God. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and may he encourage you as you walk in him.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.